Blog Talk Radio.
Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
What a moment you've brought me to such a...
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I say again, hallelujah, and thank you, Lord. Thank you for joining me this morning. Those that are coming in, there have been some technical issues with Blog Talk lately. They have been trying to maintain. So our theme did not come through earlier this morning. It came through late. But the prayer of the righteous avail much. And we are thanking God this morning. We are thanking God this morning. We are lifting up the name of Jesus this morning. We are knowing that God can and God will change the atmosphere. He will change the home. He will change the atmosphere in our workplaces. He will change atmosphere. He will change. Thank you for joining me on this 11th month and 8 days of November, this day of new beginnings. For every day is a day that we thank Lord for, a day that we give God who a Holy Spirit for. A day we just praise the Lord. And again, please continue keeping our planet in your prayers. Pray for those sick, the shut-in. Pray for our children. Pray for those that are innocent and having to suffer the consequences of evil people doing evil things in Israel and Gaza. We pray for all in this war-torn atmosphere. We lift them up in Jesus' name. And as we continue in our word this morning, we are coming out of the book of Ezekiel chapter 7 through chapter 8. Our psalm this morning is the 120th psalm, verses 1 through 7. Our proverb this morning is chapter 28, verse 15, and we are coming out of Hebrews chapter 4, which is where our title is coming from this morning. So I thank God again for this mighty word, and I thank you all for joining me today. And as we get into the book of Ezekiel, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end has come upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. My eyes will not spare you, nor will I have pity. But I will repay your ways, and your abomination will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." And our title yesterday, "I am the Lord." He is saying it again today. I am the Lord. There's only one God. And he's letting them know, you are out of order. God does not play. For he is the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, a disaster, a singular disaster. Behold, it has come. An end has come. The end has come. It has dawned for you. Behold, it has come. Doom has come to you, you who dwell in the land. The time has come. A day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains. Now upon you I will soon pour out my fury, and send my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will repay you according to your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes. Behold this, behold the day. Behold, it has come. Doom has gone out. The rod has blossomed. Pride has budded. Violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain. None of their multitude. None of them, nor shall there be wailing for them. The time has come. The day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is on their whole multitude. But the seller shall not return to what has been sold, though he may still be alive. But the vision concerns the whole multitude. As I said, a word for today. And it shall not turn back. No one will strengthen himself who lives in iniquity. They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle, for my wrath is on all their multitude. The sword is outside, and the pestilence and famine is within. Whoever is in the field will die by the sword, and whoever is in the city, famine and pestilence will destroy them. Those who survive will escape and be on the mountains, like doves of the valley, all of them mourning, each for his iniquity. Every hand will be feeble, and every knee will be as weak as water. They will also be girded with sackcloth. Horror will cover them. Shame will be on every face. Baldness on all their heads. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuge. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them. In the day of the wrath of the Lord, they will not satisfy their souls, nor fill their stomachs, because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. As for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty, but they made from it the images of their abominations, their detestable things. Therefore, I have made it like refuge to them. I will give it as plunder into the hands of strangers, into the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they shall defile it. I will turn my face from them, and they will defile my sacred place. For robbers shall enter it and defile it. Make a chain. For the land is filled with crumbs of blood. And the city is full of violence. Therefore I will bring the worst of the Gentiles, and they will possess their houses. And I will cause the pomp of the strong to cease. And their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction come. They will seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster will come upon disaster. Rumor will be upon rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from it, from the priest, and counsel from the elders. The king will mourn. The prince will be sackcloth with desolation, and the hand of the common people will tremble due to them according to their way and according to what they deserve. I will judge them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Chapter 8 of Ezekiel. And it's as if Ezekiel wrote this word today. For the land is filled with crime of blood, and the city is full of violence. We are seeing it right now played out in front of us. Destruction comes. They will seek peace, but there shall be none. We are seeing it today. And all we as men and women of God can do is pray. Pray for healing. Pray for peace. Ask God to relent. Ask God to help those that are seeking him, that need him, that want him, that know him. Came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah setting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. Then I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire from the appearance of his waist and downward. Fire, and from his waist and upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes the jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. And he said to me, Son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there north of the altar gate was this image of jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing, the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary? Now turn again, you will see greater abominations. So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, Son of man, dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So I went in and saw, and there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, and in their midst stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphat. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of this, of his idols, but they say the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. And he said to me, turn again, and you will see greater abominations than they are doing. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house. And to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see greater abominations than these. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. And he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? This is a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here. But they have filled the land with violence. Then they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, also will act in fury. My eyes will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not. And it says in some life lessons for 7 and 8. Of Ezekiel 7:27, I will do to them according to their way, and according to what they deserve, I will judge them. The Bible tells us that God keeps careful record of what we say and do and even think, to make sure that everyone gets exactly his due at the final judgment. Daniel chapter 7 verse 10 and Revelation 20 and 12. When the time of God's judgment arrives, no amount of planning or scheming will be able to rescue a person who refuses to obey. Refuses to obey him. Nothing can stand in the way of God accomplishing his purpose. Can I say that again? Nothing will stand in the way of God accomplishing his purpose. Not our purpose, but his purpose. Right now, you have so many folks trying to accomplish their purpose, making money on the blood of children through weapons of war, caring about nothing but themselves, rich getting richer, poor getting slaughtered. And God is going to judge. He is going to judge. We have to be on the Lord's side. Ezekiel 8 and 3, the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions to Jerusalem. Ezekiel gives us more vivid descriptions of the prophetic process than almost any other Old Testament prophet. God speaks to us in uncounted ways. Are we watching and listening? Yesterday I was in a Bible study, and the things that we talked about were, do you hear the voice of God? Was listening for the voice of God. And to know that we are sheep and that we have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Starts with relationship. My sheep, and we came from John 10 and 27. My sheep, when you become a believer, you become part of the family of God. And I love it. This is Ephesians 2 and 19. It says, therefore, you are no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, and aliens excluded from the rights of citizens, but you now share citizenship with saints, God's own people consecrated and set apart for himself, and you belong to God's own household. We are part of the family of God. And although we want to just paint pictures of people, we don't know their hearts. We don't know the result that they hear the voice of God and expect God to speak to them just like we do. And that sometimes delays and detours are God's divine interpretations, that God is keeping us from going. Y'all know how much I've always talked about going to Israel, and an opportunity almost came up, but it wasn't my time. And now I understand why it wasn't my time. The reason I know then is that God has a plan for me. And what he says is, follow me. We've got to follow God. In all we do, follow God. Hear his voice. Listen to him. Just as Ezekiel did, he listened to God, and God showed him hidden things that were going on. And in Ezekiel 8 and 17, it is a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here. Sin is never a trivial thing. We may get so used to some offense that it seems harmless and even inconsequential. But God's holy nature never changes. Sin never becomes acceptable to him. Sin is not acceptable to God. Them little white lies are lies. The exaggerations are exaggerations. And real is real. Woke is alive and waking up to see what's going on around you. Because when you're opposite of woke is asleep. And God wants us awake because we know that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy when you're sleeping. We got, it's time to wake up. It's time to speak and listen to the voice of God. God is in charge of everything. Through Jesus Christ, he has given us Christ. 120th Psalm, verses 1 through 7, a song of action. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. If you're going through this morning, cry to God. Speak to God. Give your supplication to God. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. God knows everything about us. He knows. I just spoke about the little white lie. Folks are like, well, it's just a little white lie. Just kind of stretch. No, you don't stretch the truth. The truth is the truth. And a lie is a lie. And you can't guise it up. When news is news and it's real, you can't call it fake. You can't not caught up in foolishness. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips. We got to pray that every day and from a deceitful tongue. Folks almost destroyed a nation over lying lips and deceitful tongues. We got to pray. We don't know what's going on in the Middle East. All we know is what we're told. But there are probably more to it than what we know. But it's not a lie when you see babies being put in morgue because the incubator stopped working and they died because there's no electricity, there's no water, there's no food. Understand war is horrible, and we know that they call it quote-unquote casualties of war. But it's sinful what's going on. And God will be the judge. It says, what shall be given to you or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of a warrior but coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that dwell in Mishpat, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. You heard that. I am for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. It's as if our word was written today, filling me up. Because when you read the word, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. You can see it happening in places right now. We can see it happening in Russia. We can see it happening in Ukraine. You can see it happening in Israel. You can see it happening in the Gaza Strip with Hamas. Each one tried to up the other one. Each one tried to get back at the other. Each one still preaching war and not caring about the casualties of war, which are our children. Prayer is all we can do. We've got to pray. Pray for peace. Pray for understanding. Pray for God to send a latter rain. In the name of Jesus, we look up and lift up the people who have died in tsunamis and flooding in Africa. Because of climate change, the weather is changing all over the world. As I look out on this fall day, it's like you can't tell the fall from the spring, from the winter. I have some trees that have no branches on them. Then I have other trees that have the beautiful yellow and orange and fall colors. But then I look out and my grass is as green as spring. And I have trees that still have leaves as if spring. As I look out, the birds are feeding in my yard. A flock of birds has just decided that my yard was a nice place to be today. You know, the little tiny birds that are cute as buttons, you know, kind of creeps you out because it kind of reminds you of the movie, The Birds. But you can see that it's God feeding the birds of the field. God is in charge. And when we come to that realization, everything else falls into place. God, not us, is in charge. Are we trusting in him? Proverbs 28:15, like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. You see it? The poor get poor and the rich get richer. Tax breaks for the rich, but we don't look at you because you don't need help. We want to take away substance for children that are poor. Decrease SNAP, or as some call it, LINK, but because we need that money for the rich to give them a tax break for the lie called trickle-down economics. Nothing trickles down. It stays up on yachts and houses and cars and things that are material that you cannot take with you. But the only thing we can take with us is our soul. And when your soul is wicked, you're going to take that wicked soul straight to hell. You got to trust God. Because the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And as we study this word and read the word of God, we've got to trust in him. We've got to trust in his word. We've got to trust and have faith. God will take care of it all. And it says this in Hebrews chapter 4, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Come on now. Not being mixed with faith in those who are heard it. For we who have believed to enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, but he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh, not the first, on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. We have taken God's word and switched it and twisted it to make it convenient. And we have got to pray. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again, he designates a certain day, saying to David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Are you listening? Are you hearing the voice of God? Is he speaking to you? Is he speaking to all of us? Is he saying, listen, listen, my daughter. Listen, my son. Listen, speaking to you. I'm trying to guide you in the way to go. Or are we allowing our hearts to be hardened and our ears to be closed? But if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, but he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God sees every part of us. He sees us down to the bone. You know, there was a song back in the day, Bad to the Bone. God sees all the way to the bad bone, and God also sees the good bone. God sees your heart. He knows if your heart is pumping blood, it's doing its job, or if it has hardened. If it's a hard heart where you cannot forgive, where you cannot look up and lift up, we've got to pray. And it says we will all give an account. I'm going to give an account. You're going to give an account. We are going to give an account to God of what we are, what we've done, and how we treated our fellow man. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus went through what we go through. Jesus was tempted by Satan. Jesus was tempted just like every other person. He went through what we go through. He had proper liars out there. He had folks in the temple selling and doing stuff, fish, dinner, chicken, dinner, chicken, chitlin' dinners, you name it, doing everything and anything in the house of God. And Jesus went in like a mighty wind and cleaned out with a whip. My Father's house shall not be a den of thieves, but a house of prayer. I was grateful last night I was able to make it to prayer. It was poignant. It was beautiful, and I needed it. Even though the enemy would try to throw a distraction at you, I made it, and I'm grateful. I'm thankful, because I know I was blessed. And the Word of God says, then, what we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Thank you, Jesus. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise the Lord and God. Give God hallelujah praise. And as we go into Hebrews 4:12, which is where our title comes from this morning, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible is not dead, but living. It lives both because God brought it into existence and because the Spirit of God brings its message to life in our hearts. It has God's power to provoke change in our lives. Hebrews 4:15, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Because Jesus knows what it feels like to be tempted. He is sympathetic toward us. That is, he does not feel annoyed at our failures or exasperated with our struggles. He knows just how to move us on to maturity. Are you trusting God this morning? Are you listening for his voice? Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. God wants to come boldly into his presence. He wants us to come boldly into his presence. And I say it again, he wants us to come boldly into his presence. Timidly or anxiously or in fear or how he might respond, of how he might respond. He wants to help us, and he has all the grace we need to confront any challenge we must face. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy that he allows us to come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who came into this wicked world as a man. And then he came back as the Spirit to lead and guide us, to show us the way. Are you trusting in God today? Hebrews 4:15-16, finding confidence in God, what the Bible says. God's people have only one way to face life, confidently. After all, he loves us, has saved us from eternal death, and is committed to guiding us through every moment of life. God wants us to live confidently, but too often we allow feelings of personal inadequacy and worthlessness to derail our confidence. The Apostle Paul lived through horrendous circumstances, rejected by his Jewish peers, stoned, abandoned to die, ridiculed, ignored, and often beaten and imprisoned for his devotion to Christ. But Paul continued to maintain confident hope right up to the very end. How did he manage it? And we all know that Paul was the biggest persecutor. Chased folks down like dogs, trying to get them out of the faith, trying to take them out of the way, knocking them left and right off their square into darkness. Saying, you better renounce this Jesus Christ. Are you going to jail? Are you going to die? Are we going to take your children? Whatever he had to use to get people away from the way. Until Jesus, in his glory, in his marvelous light, shone bright on him to blindness on the Damascus Road. And it transformed Saul to Paul. And it says, and when the apostles did not think he could face another day, he recalled one simple truth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. That should be our lament every day. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We give up. We give up, and I can only speak because I've given up many a time. Lord, it's too much. I can't do it. Then I hear the voice of God. What does my word say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is what we have to take with us wherever we go. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He focused on his Lord just as Jeremiah had. Great is your faithfulness. as I watch our children sing this hymn with boldness on Monday night with voices like angels that I had never heard. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, our Father, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. We got to thank God. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And it says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him, Lamentations 3:23. The classic hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, expands on this important idea. Next time you sing it, don't miss the wonder of it. God is faithful and does not change. Hebrews 13:8. In this one truth, we find our reason for hope and unwavering confidence of God's unchanging nature. Teaches us that even when we feel unlovely, we remain beautiful to him. We can do nothing to change his love for us. It is unconditional and flows freely from the throne of grace. Great is thy faithfulness, God. We've got to know who we have. And it says God's unchanging nature teaches us to give it when we feel unlovely. We remain beautiful to him. And I thought the song that they used to sing in my grandmother's same church, hold on to God's unchanging hand. We got to hold on to the unchanging hands of God. If God decided to change who he is, then every promise he has made would be in jeopardy. He would become untrustworthy. But the legacy of God is this. He loved us unconditionally yesterday, and he loves us with the same love today and tomorrow. Do you trust him? Have you experienced a strong assurance that comes from placing your faith in his unfailing love? Roll the burden of your heart into him, and you will discover that you too can sing, Great is thy faithfulness. Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord this morning. But God is faithful. God is loving. God is true, and God is pure. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to them understanding. Lean to God. Lean to his hope. Lean to him and watch him work in your life. Whew. Trust God. And before we go to our prayer this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. No matter how difficult situation you may be facing today, God can turn it around. Have a wait on God Wednesday. Again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter how difficult the situation you may be facing today, whatever it is, just remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God can turn it around. God will turn it around. As Israel says, open the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing. Overflow. Turn it around. We got to turn it around and know that God is the turnaround king. He can turn your life from being upside down to being right and righteous. Keep trusting God today, because we know, hallelujah, that this word of God, that God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. When we trust in it, when we go to it, when we believe it, watch God work in your life. And the word for this morning in our prayer, greater good. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for one another. 1 John 3:16. Savior, you love out every other with no competition. You put aside your throne in a perfect kingdom and limited yourself to human frailty. You displayed for me the perfect love of the Father that would go to any length to restore broken connections. In laying down your life for me to find my freedom, you called me to lay down my life in love, displaying the lengths you still go. Lord, what a reminder that brute force and intimidation does nothing for lasting peace. Can I say that again? Whew. Lord, what a reminder that brute force and intimidation does nothing for lasting peace. Restoration happens in the laying down, not in the puffing up. May I stay here, knitted into the love that breaks chains and calms every storm. The love that walks the path of peace is not a popular road, but I will take it following you. Your wisdom offends the wisdom of this world, the higher way that always finds lasting solutions. Sown in love, I want to be found on your side at every juncture of my life. Keep me close, Lord, as I choose you. How can you choose love today? How can you choose God today? How can you lift up the name of Jesus today? How? Just do it. Just do it. No matter how difficult the situation you may be facing today, whether it's surgery, whether it's finance, whether it's dealing with home or heart, or difficult children, God can turn it around. Have a weight on God's mindset. And that is all I have this morning. If there is anyone that God has put a word in your heart that you would like to speak, please call 213-943-3597 and push the number 1. We are here Sunday through Friday at 7 a.m. Keep trusting God, family, and know that he is a turnaround God. Whatever life is throwing at you, God can turn it around. All you have to do is believe. And that is our word. Have a great day, family. Keep trusting God and knowing that he is and always will be the one that loves you most. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Because I got it for the work. I love you all. Again, I apologize for blog talk and all the crazy that seems to be going on these days, but God is in charge, and we got through. So I thank God for all of you that faithfully listen. I thank you, God, for Mother Rita. I thank you for Mother Valerie. I thank you for Tracy and Minister Shannon and many of those whose names I do not know, but whose phone numbers I see and who I see in the numbers listening in on Facebook and Twitter. I thank you all, and I pray the blood of Jesus over you, that God will bless you, that God will watch over you, that God will take care of you, and that we never forget that the word of God, not our words, God's words, is like a two-edged sword, and that we have got to believe, and we've got to trust that God has got us covered from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Trust God and know that he is in charge of everything. So family, I pray over you as you pray over me. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that God is in charge and he will give you perfect peace. Be blessed. It's a wrap.